Good to see everyone this evening. We're going to commence the meeting with the words of hymn number 142. 142. Christ, the Saviour of sinners, came into the world to save. Sing his glory, his worth, his fame. Jesus alone can save. No name else is given. Search through earth and heaven. Jesus alone, Jesus alone, Jesus alone can save. 142. We'll just remain seated while we sing.
Christ, the Saviour of sinners, came into the world to save.
Take a moment to pray. Ask the Lord for his blessing. Our Father, we come before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we give thanks that already our thoughts have focused upon the one who is able to save sinners. We remember thy word tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. We remember the Apostle Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we give thanks that we can sing of a Saviour, one who came with that express purpose into this world, and one who has shown his ability and his power, his capacity to save sinners throughout the centuries. Every person that has trusted in him has known the blessing of eternal salvation. And so we come to thee to pray that tonight, as the message concerning Christ is proclaimed again, that thou wouldst grant thy help, thy blessing, and thy presence. We think of each person who is gathered. We remember that thou knowest every heart, every thought, and every mind. And we ask that thou wouldst use thy word to enlighten people as to their need of being saved and as to the glorious person of Christ who can save them. We commit the meeting to thee. We pray for thy blessing, and we ask this for the honour and glory of Christ, as we ask it in his name. Amen. Let's sing another hymn together. Hymn number 158. 158. Down from the glory the Saviour came, down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. This time we will rise, if that's convenient.
Down from the glory the Saviour came, down to the cross.
Lovely once again to see the hall so well filled, and we want to thank everyone who has made the effort to come along tonight to listen to the gospel. It is very, very much appreciated indeed. It encourages us a lot to see so many. And if you're not saved, please be aware that this meeting is being held for your benefit. The desire in all of our hearts is that you would come to know Christ as a personal saviour. It is a wonderful blessing to be saved. My name is David Williamson, and this is Paul McCauley behind me here. And each night of this week through to Friday night, we are speaking here at 8 o'clock each evening and for a couple of weeks after that. So we're glad to see you tonight. We would invite you to come back again, if at all possible, in the will of God, in the nights that lie ahead, and those meetings are announced subject to the Lord's will. Now we're going to read tonight in the Gospel of Matthew. First of all, the Gospel of Matthew, please, and in chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now that's our reading with the Lord's blessing upon it. Now over the last couple of nights, we have considered who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what the Lord Jesus Christ does for those who trust in him. And tonight, I want to think with you about when that happens and why that happens in a person's life. And so the real message tonight is, or the title we could put upon the message tonight is, I want to speak about a simple, sure, sudden salvation. The wonderful message of the Bible is this, that you have come along to this gospel meeting, and at this moment you may not be saved, but before you leave the meeting, you could be saved. It is possible. Salvation is simple. Salvation is sudden. It happens in an instant. And salvation is sure for every person that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to think about this moment of salvation. There are a number of miracles in the Bible that illustrate for us the salvation moment. And this miracle that we've read about the Lord Jesus and a leper, this really illustrates for us very simply the moment when a person places their trust in Christ or comes to Christ and is blessed by him. This leper, he came to the Lord and he was healed, and then he was instructed to offer a certain sacrifice. And what I want to do is just to take these three verses that we've read together and to take 3 points out of the three verses. And really the desire is that this might be a help to someone here tonight in the meeting. So verse number 2 is the first verse that we read. And I want us to think in this verse just about the simplicity of coming to the Lord. The simplicity of coming to the Lord. Listen to what it says. It says, And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, or if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, from the perspective of this man with leprosy, remember this, all he did was come. All he did was come to the Lord. He didn't do anything else for his cleansing. He did nothing else for his healing. He simply came to the Lord. Now, really just at the beginning, I'm going to mention that this is what the Lord requires of you. There is nothing difficult. If you're going to be saved, there is a responsibility. And that is that you personally have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. So I want to think, we'll ask a couple of questions about this man who came. The first question is, who was it who came? Well, he is described as a leper. Now, that's a very small word. We could say it's a little drop of a word. But behind that little drop of a word, there is a great ocean of misery. Okay, this man
had a terrible disease, and it afflicted him in all different ways. But just to say a little about the disease, it was a disease that started quite small. That is, the evidence of it appeared as a small scar or a small mark on the skin. And then as time progressed, the disease progressed, and the person became more and more contaminated by this problem called leprosy. It was a disease at that time which had a number of different effects. For example, because of this disease, people were regarded as being religiously unclean or defiled. And because of that, they had to stay outside of people's company, and they had to go around and declare themselves to be unclean. Unclean. So here's a man, and he is diseased with leprosy. And the result of that disease is this: he is isolated, he is separated, he is alone. Now, another effect of this disease was that ultimately and finally it led to death. There was no known cure. There was no doctor that you could go to who could prescribe you medication. There was no surgeon who could remove the problem of this disease of leprosy. A person who discovered they had this disease, the rest of their life was impacted by it, and it only led in one direction. It was leading to their death. So behind this little description of this man as a leper, remember this. He was diseased. He was defiled. He was dying, and there was nothing that he could do about it. And there was nothing that anyone else could do. So he was a man in complete desperation. This was the man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how did he come? Well, notice what it says. It says, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, you'll notice that he didn't try to cover up his problem. He didn't try to conceal the issue. He didn't dress himself up in any... There's very little said about what he did. Just one or two things I want to mention to you in the way that he came to the Lord. The first is this. He came and worshipped him. Now, what that's telling us is this, that he came recognizing the identity of the one to whom he was coming. So here's a man who is desperate, who is defiled, who is dying, and he comes to Jesus recognizing the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He worshipped him. He worshipped him. Now, this man would have been a Jew, and the Jew knew that he was not meant to worship anyone but God. In fact, a few chapters before this, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said this. He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. For the Jew, the very worst sin that they could commit, the worst crime against God that they could commit, would be the crime of idolatry. Imagine putting a man upon the pedestal of being God and worshipping him. And yet this man, he falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and he worshipped him. What is he doing? He's recognizing that this person is no less than God. Now, we've had this time and again in the Bible. You remember the wise men when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and they came from the east, you'll remember. And they were searching to find the one who was born King of the Jews. And ultimately and finally the star guides them over the house in which the Lord Jesus was. And they come to the house and they see the young child with Mary his mother. And it says this, and they fell down and they worshipped him. They worshipped him. We read about a man who was the ruler of a synagogue. And he had a daughter who was about to die. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he fell down and he worshipped him, pleading with him to heal his daughter. The disciples on one occasion, they were on a boat with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, there was a great storm. And the Lord Jesus, he stood up in the boat. And he spoke to the wind and the waves, and there was a great calm that immediately followed the storm. The sea was calm, and the wind ceased. And the Bible tells us that the disciples, they worshipped him. And at the end of Matthew's gospel, there were women who saw the Lord after he was raised from the dead, and they fell down at his feet, and they worshipped him. The point that's being made is this. These are people who recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, I want to take a simple thing from that and just apply it in the meeting. First of all, this was a man who was desperate, who was defiled, who was dying, who could do nothing for himself. Now, that's a little illustration of us as sinners in the sight of God. We have a problem called sin. It is a disease that defiles us. It makes us unclean in the sight of God. It leads to death. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. There is no one else but Christ who can solve the problem of our sin. And all we have to do is to come to him in order to receive this blessing, but we must come recognizing his identity. This is God manifest in flesh. There are some people, and they speak about the Lord Jesus as a great prophet. Others, they recognize him to be a good man or a great teacher in history. The Bible demands, if you are going to be saved, if your sins are going to be forgiven, that you come to him recognizing his identity. He is God. He is God. As well as that, he came and he called him Lord. He says that there came a leper and worshipped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, that word Lord just means master. Our owner. So he's coming, recognizing his identity, and he's coming, yielding to his authority. You know, there's a lady that sometimes I would speak to about the gospel message, and she has listened to the gospel many, many times and heard it explained far better than I will ever explain it, I'm sure. But she is not yet saved. And one of the reasons I think that to be the case is this. She is unwilling to yield to his authority. Maybe there's someone here and you say, yes, I know I have this problem called sin. Yes, I know sin defiles me. And I know that sin is a problem leading to death. I know that I could end up in hell for eternity because of the sins that I've committed against God. And I know that Jesus Christ is no less than the Son of God. And I've simply to come to him. But what I don't like the thought of is this, that he would have authority in my life. Listen, if you're going to be saved, remember this. You've only to come to Christ, but you come to Christ recognizing his identity and yielding to his authority. And then there's another thing that it says here. He said, Lord, he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, what was he doing here? He was believing in Christ's ability. He was believing in Christ's ability. He says, you can do it. You can do it. I know that you can do it. You know, salvation, the moment of salvation is a very simple moment. It's a very, very simple moment. I know a little girl who was 7 years old when she got saved, and that she was eating ice cream in her granny's house, alone sitting in the living room of her granny's house eating ice cream, and the thought came into her mind, I need to be forgiven of my sin. And she said to herself, well, the Lord Jesus is the one who can forgive me of my sin. I will come to him and he will forgive me of my sin. And listen, in an instant, she was saved. This is the simplicity of coming to the Lord. Remember this, you don't need to go through weeks of worry or anxiety or concern. You have to come to Christ, recognizing who he is, yielding to him, and believing that he is able to do that which he has promised to do, that which you could never do. That is, he is able to save you. So, the simplicity of coming to the Lord. Then, the next point I want us to talk about is the certainty of cleansing from the Lord. It says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, notice, this man who came, he asked this question, if thou wilt, or he expressed this concern, if thou wilt, thou canst. In other words, if you're willing, you're able. Now, he had this problem in his mind. The Lord Jesus can do this, but is he willing to do it? The Lord Jesus has the power, but does he have the love? He has the ability, but is he available? Is he going to actually do it for me? Now, I wonder why that was the case. And I was thinking today, why is it that this man would ever doubt that the Lord Jesus would do it for him? For him. And over the years, I've come across a few people like this. And this man who had this disease of leprosy and all of that, there's a sense in which he illustrates for us all sinners, because we all have this problem called sin that defiles us. But there's another sense in which he illustrates for us what we might call the worst of sinners, okay? Because the Bible tells us he was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. And maybe he just looked at himself and he realized just how contaminated he was. You know, from head to toe, all over his body was the evidence of the problem of leprosy. Everywhere he looked, he could see evidence. It was not hidden from anyone that this was a man with leprosy. Anyone you asked would have known, this is a person who has leprosy. And as he thought about just how affected he was by the problem of leprosy, maybe he thought to himself, well, the Lord is able, but would he be willing to cleanse a person just as bad as me, just as contaminated as me? Would he do it for even me? I remember a lady years ago by the name of Shaz, and I used to visit her, and life had been very cruel to her. And she had a drink problem and different things as the result of that. And she was invited time and again to listen to the message of the gospel. And she used to say, if I came into that church building, listen, the roof would collapse. And she was kind of conveying that she wasn't good enough. She wasn't good enough to come. And really that became an excuse that she stayed away. Now, this man, covered in leprosy, he could have had this doubt to himself, will the Lord Jesus do it? Well, I'll not bother going. I'll not bother going. But he didn't. You see, he came. He came just as he was. And he came with this problem in his mind. And what he discovered was this. When he came, the Lord Jesus Christ was moved with compassion towards him. He stretched forth his hand and he touched him. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. Maybe there's someone here and you think that this salvation that other people have is not for you. That is, it's not really available to you. You know, the Bible speaks of a man who called himself the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus. And he said this, he says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so the very worst of sinners has been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come as a sinner to Jesus and he has discovered the heart of Christ is towards him. In fact, the Apostle Paul, as he went on to be, said this, the Son of God loved me and he gave himself for me. Whoever you are tonight, there is one who loves you. And if you come just as you are to Christ, recognizing who he is and the ability that he has and willing to yield to his authority, listen, you will be immediately and eternally saved. It will happen. The simplicity of coming to the Lord, the certainty of cleansing from the Lord. But then I want to think of something else here in verse number 4. The Lord says to this man, this man was immediately cleansed. The Lord says to him, go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, I'm going to have to explain this a little bit, but I want to think about the severity of the cost of this to the Lord. So what did this cost the Lord Jesus Christ? And what happened here was this. This man was to go and show and offer a sacrifice. Okay? And if you were to go to the Old Testament, you discover that there was a sacrifice that was to be offered when a person with leprosy was cleansed. And what happened was this. There was two birds were taken. They were clean birds, living birds, and one of them was killed. His blood was shed. And the other one was dipped in the blood of the living bird, and then it was set free. And listen, there was just a little illustration in all of that. And the illustration is this, that here is a heavenly creature, the bird, taken from the sky and brought down and slaughtered. And then the second bird is set free to rise again up into the heavens. What is it talking about? It's a little picture of the cost to bring salvation to you. You see, the Son of God has come from heaven. We've sung, down from the glory, the Saviour came. Down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. There, as my surety, he firmly stood. Paid for my ransom, his precious blood. Died for my sin to bring me to God. Jesus died for me. There upon the cross at Calvary, there was a payment made. And that payment has been accepted by God as all the payment required for our salvation. And the Lord has been raised from the dead. He's gone back up into heaven. And listen, the reason why being saved is as simple as coming to Christ, and being saved is absolutely certain for those that come to Christ, is because there's one who paid the cost of it all upon the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished. The work has been done. Nothing more is required from you." simply come. You know, the hymn says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. You come now to Christ. Simply come, and you will be certainly saved by him.
I'm glad to see you. Thanks for coming this evening. I'm going to read to you from John's Gospel on chapter 12. If you have a Bible with you and want to look on, John chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 32 and verse 33. John 12, reading here from verse 32. So the Lord Jesus is speaking here. And he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The Jewish authorities were really in quite a panic about Jesus. He had gained quite a following, and he was explicitly claiming to be the Son of God. Now, when he was claiming to be the Son of God, that wasn't a claim to be God's junior or lesser or inferior, but rather it was a claim to be God's equal. That's what it means to be the Son of God. It means that he was claiming to share the very nature of God, to possess the attributes of God, to be equal with God. And the Jewish authorities, considered this to be blasphemy. And they didn't like that there were so many people who were latching on and following this man. And so they thought that if we can get him crucified, well, that will be the end of anyone thinking that he's the Son of God. It will make him repulsive in the eyes of people. Crucifixion was the most cruel and shameful form of execution that the cruel, depraved heart of man ever devised. And they thought, if we can get him on a cross, then people will see him as something repulsive and they will turn away from him. If we can get him crucified, no one will want anything to do with him. But the Lord Jesus says here that through him being lifted up, it would actually result in him drawing all to him. Rather than it making him repulsive, it will actually make him attractive. Rather than it causing people to turn from him, it will cause people to turn to him and come to him. Why is that? Why is it that there is this magnetism, this attraction with Christ, the Son of God, lifted up on a cross? For a couple of reasons, well, for loads of reasons probably, but a couple of reasons I want us to think about this evening. And the reasons are these. At the cross, we see that what we need most has been provided. And secondly, at the cross we see what we want most has been proved. So first of all, at the cross we see what we need most has been provided. What do we need most? I wonder if I were to just ask each one of you, I wonder what your answer to that would be. I know what your answer to it should be. What we need most is to be saved from our sins. Friends, that is what you need most. Every boy and girl here, every man and woman here, no matter how young you are, no matter how good living you are, what we need most is to be saved from our sins. Because we have sinned against a righteous God who will not and cannot overlook our sin. God is a God of absolute righteousness. And his righteousness demands that every single sin be punished. God cannot fudge on justice. He cannot set aside the demands of his law. His law flows from his very nature. And he demands, therefore, that every single sin be answered for. I hope you can see that this puts us in a humanly hopeless predicament. We have broken God's law. God's justice demands that those sins be paid for. And that's a price that we are never, ever, ever going to be able to fully pay. So we are condemned. We are lost. We are helpless. Is there any hope for us? Well, not in reformation. Not in religion. Not in any works that we can do or any rituals that we can observe. There is no hope in any of that. But friends, this is why the message of the gospel centers on the cross. Because at the cross we see that what we need most has been provided. The only way we can go free from the punishment we deserve is if someone else steps in and takes it. And that's what was going on at Calvary. The Lord Jesus was not there as a helpless victim. He was not there as a noble martyr. He was not there as a political revolutionary. He was there as a sacrifice for sin, as a substitute for sinners. He never sinned. He couldn't sin. And yet on the cross, out of love for sinners, he became answerable. He became accountable. He bore the punishment. It was all charged to his account. It was laid on him. And the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So at the cross, a full payment was made because the infinite Son of God, he gave himself and did what we couldn't do. He paid sin's penalty in full and proved it by rising from the dead. A full payment has been made and a full provision has been made. He has provided salvation. You need not take the punishment you deserve because of what Christ has done. You can go free because of what Christ has done. There is no need for anyone here to be lost because of what Christ has done. He has made this full provision at the cross. And so you can come to him. You see, this is why him being lifted up on the cross results in people being drawn to him. They recognize, yes, this is what I need. A few years ago, I was in Birmingham. And during the course of my time there, there was a debate that was taking place at a local hotel between a Christian and a Muslim. And they were debating, did Jesus die on the cross? Because Islam teaches, despite all the historical evidence, Islam teaches that Jesus didn't die on the cross. So my brother-in-law and I, we went along, and the debate was all very interesting. But to me, the highlight of the debate was what a wee woman said to me afterwards. She was a Christian, and we were chatting about how the debate went. And she says this, she says, you know, you can debate it all you like, but the moment you realize you're a sinner, you see that this is your only hope. This is your only hope. There is a righteous God who demands an answer, a payment for your sin. And friends, your only hope is to be found in a substitute. Your only hope is to be found in Jesus Christ. So come to him. There is no other way that you can be saved. Come to him with your debt of sin. It's one of the ways the Bible pictures the problem of sin, like a huge big debt. We're in over our heads, we can't pay. But you can bring that debt of sin to Christ. I remember sitting with a man one day. I said to him, if you died right now, where would you be? He says, if I died right now, I'd go straight to hell. I said, is there anything you think you could do to change that? He sat there and shook his head. He said, I don't think there's anything I could ever do to pay for the sins I've committed. I agreed with him. There was nothing he could ever do to pay for the sins he committed. But there was something Jesus Christ did. On that old rugged cross, that is enough to pay for the sins he committed. And friends, there's nothing we can do to pay our debt of sin. But if you bring that debt to Christ, that debt will be cancelled. The Bible says this, that for those who come to Christ, he takes their certificate of debt and he nails it to the cross, saying this, that at the cross it was paid for. The cross is enough to cover it. So take that debt of sin and take it to Christ. Take your record of guilt. No, we're a bunch of criminals. We've broken God's law. Guilty past, criminal record. And God knows all about it. But you can take that record of guilt. Just bring it to Christ. And that record will be cleared. That's what the Bible word justified means. You will be cleared of every charge of guilt. And it says that for the one who comes to Christ, we are now justified by his blood. He has paid the penalty in full. Just take your debt of sin to him. It'll be cancelled. Take your record of guilt to him. It will be cleared. Take your sinful soul to him. Your defiled, stained soul to him. We're all just like that leper that we've been hearing about. Unclean. But if you come to Christ, that defilement will be cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. Friends, the answer is found through the cross. There at Calvary, what we need most was provided. So come to Christ. There's a hymn, and there's a verse in that hymn that expresses the language of the believer in the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Adore him. Adore him. The glorious work is done. The Father will not punish me. It was laid upon his Son. It's finished, cried his suffering soul. And I my title see. I was a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me. He has provided what you need. So come to him. He's your only hope. So through the cross, what we need most has been provided. What we want most has been proved. What do we want most? I would say deep down, what people want most is, well, look, we were created by God and we were created for God. And that hole, that void that there is in the human heart can only be filled by a relationship with God. But we've sinned against him. We've turned from him. Is there any hope of us knowing that satisfaction? That relationship with God? Well, look, at the cross, what we see proven is this. That he loves us still. Even though we have sinned against him, even though we have turned, yet still he loves us. I don't know what you think God is like. Speaking to a woman a while ago and asked her, did she believe in God? She says, I believe there's something out there. And that was her idea of God, something out there. Would it not be amazing to think that rather than God being something out there, he's someone out there. Someone who loved you enough to come down here and loved you enough to die for you. Friends, that's the truth. That's what you look at the cross. That is what God is like. He didn't remain out of sight, out of reach, out of touch. Down from the glory, the Savior came. Down to the cross and the death of shame, gazing in wonder, I there exclaim, Jesus died for me. The gods of religion have sacrificed nothing for you, but the true God, the God of the gospel, has sacrificed himself for you. Think about it. The highest. The strongest. The best. And he sacrifices himself for us. In all our lowliness. In all our weakness. In all our sinfulness. Back then in that culture, in that day, you didn't sacrifice for anyone who was beneath you. No, the weak were sacrificed for the strong. The low were sacrificed for the high. The bad were sacrificed for the good. If someone was beneath you, that's where fate decreed them to be. And you just trampled over them. And all of that was transformed, flipped on its head at the cross. We see the one who had the authority to condemn us. He had the power to crush us. And yet he gives himself and bears the condemnation. He was crushed for us. He didn't have to do it. No one could have made him. We didn't deserve it. We never even would have desired it. Wouldn't have entered our heads. But as he, from heaven's glory, looked down on you, on me, his attitude, in a very real way, was this: I would rather die. I would rather die than let them perish. And Christ died for us. I was speaking to a woman some time ago, and she's a follower of one of the Eastern religions, and she was telling me about her view of God as just this impersonal force. We spoke about that for a while, and we agreed that it would be very difficult then to account for why it is we are loving, relational beings if what produced us is incapable of love. And then she said to me this. She says, I have been reading the Gospels. And she says, Christ is amazing. Of course, I agreed. She says, you know, when he was on the cross, there was a criminal next to him who cried out to him. And she says, Jesus responded and took that man to heaven. She said, when I have a headache, I don't answer the phone. She said, you know, like when I'm suffering, I can't be bothered with anyone. She said, he was going through all that pain. And still he cared. That's why he was going through all that pain. Because he cared. That's what God is like. That is God. That's how much he loves you. You're not feeling the draw. Is this not a God you could trust? Is this not a God you would want a relationship with? Why would you stay away from him? What propaganda, what lies have you believed about him? He loves you with all his heart. And those arms that were outstretched on the cross are outstretched to you right now. And he's inviting you to come. And all he wants to take from you is your sin, your doubt, and your fear. And he wants to give you new life and assure you of his acceptance and forgiveness. Are you not feeling him draw you tonight? Don't resist. Don't rebel. Don't refuse. Listen, deep down, this is not only what you need most, this is what you want most. Don't stay away from this loving Saviour. Come to him. He's drawing you. He's calling you. Don't refuse. If you come to him, you'll find all that you need. You'll find in him. You will. You'll find in him all that you want. He not only saves, he satisfies. Why not come to him even now as we pray? Father, we do give thanks to thee for the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee for his willingness and his ability to cleanse every sinner. And we pray that there might be some who will just respond to his drawing power this evening and give up their resistance and their rebellion and yield to him. God grant it may be so, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll ask you to sing from 373, please. 373. I was thinking especially of the last verse of this hymn. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now, to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just the last two verses, please, verses 5 and 6 of 373, keeping our seats.